Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as a rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the presence has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won.
To the 9 Points Podcast, I'm your host, BH. Thank you very much for joining our family show. This is a family theme show that was inspired by Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22, 23 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, speaking about the Spirit of God, and it reads as follows. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. These principles are what we strive to live by, the way that we try to resolve our problems, the way that we go about calming the inner battles that we have within ourselves, the principles that we use to ground us when we're having our relationships with other people, so that we are genuine in the moment and intentional about giving our best to those situations, trying to be the best people that we can be, not because somebody told us to, but who wouldn't want to be the best at anything? If I'm competing against you, wouldn't I want to be the best? So if I'm trying to be the best in myself, it's not a matter of trying to put somebody else down or try to make somebody else like me. This show is to, we use this show to try to promote encouragement, sometimes humor, to give people some answers. Certain times we open up and share things that we've gone through personally as testimonies that can comfort, that can be comforting. This is a time, we live in a time where it's really easy to pull down and blame for the things that we don't have. So we wanted to do our best to be accountable and acknowledge that there are things that are bad, things that are beyond our control, but also to be proactive about the positive attitudes and the responsibility that we have as individuals and as families, individuals that come together and are a part of a collective that is bigger than just one. We believe that families have the opportunity to be keys for tremendous change. And hopefully we are a key for tremendous positive change. This season, we're doing something a little different than the previous seasons, and that is in the first segment, we will be reading from the Sunday school lesson, which is coming from Junior Way Quarterly. And Junior Way Quarterly is put out by UMI, which I believe stands for Urban Ministries Incorporated. And the quarterly that we're going over today is for March, April, and May 2024. After I go through today's lesson, which comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. After I do today's lesson, I'll just share a little bit, you know, in the second segment, a little about encouragement in the face of rejection. That'll be the second segment. And so without further ado, let me jump right into it. As I said, today's lesson comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. What I'd like to do, first of all, is give you, well, I'll do these terms first. After I do these terms, then I'll just read the entire Matthew 18 through 25, and then I'll go back and break down each segment just like it is in my teacher's manual. So the first thing I want to do is talk to you guys about Emmanuel. This was the name given to Christ, is interpreted as God with us, according to Matthew chapter 1:23, Isaiah 8, verse 8 and 10. The prophet Isaiah foretold of a savior who would be born of a virgin and would bear this name. Now, that's the literal term. That's the literal translation, means God is with us. Symbolically, the name implies God's coming into earth in human flesh. I think that's important to understand because as Christians, we understand well, and you'll hear in this actual lesson, this Sunday school lesson, how Jesus ended up with the name Jesus and not Emmanuel. But God is with us absolutely aptly describes Jesus's life here on earth in his ministry. God is with us. That was what was happening. And him, Jesus, putting on human flesh and living as a human being and dealing with every temptation and weakness that every human being could ever conceive of. And then by having lived that way, sacrificing himself for those of us who would believe in him, acknowledge him for who he is, which is God among us, God with us. So that's what Emmanuel means. And like I said, today's lesson goes into how Jesus got the name Jesus instead of Emmanuel, which was what Isaiah said. What Isaiah said actually alluded to who Jesus was, what Jesus did, but not his literal name. And again, today's lesson will tell you how he got the name Jesus. Now, the next thing I want to tell you about is Joseph. And I didn't realize, I realized that Joseph was part of David's bloodline, but I'm going to just read this part from my teacher's manual because it's, you know, Mary was too. It says, a descendant of King David and the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Born in Nazareth, a town in the region of Galilee, Joseph was the legal earthly father of Jesus. He was a carpenter by trade and a righteous man. After Mary was found to be with child, the angel of the Lord instructed Joseph to marry her, even though Jewish laws regarding her pregnancy would have justified an opposite choice. Okay, now this doesn't. Okay, I should have read this up part. Okay, I said a little bit too much, but we'll. What I just alluded to about Joseph is actually part of the Sunday school lesson. But it says in the background section, it says, although Mary was a descendant of David through the house of Nathan, the legal inheritance had to come through the line of Solomon, through Joseph, Jesus's earthly father. Okay, so that was what I was trying to get to. So if you didn't know, Joseph was the name of Jesus's earthly father. He was the man that was married to Mary when Jesus was born and was the father of other siblings that Jesus had later on. But as I said, it said that Mary was a descendant through the house of Nathan. And I didn't know that until I read this this commentary for the teacher's guide. So now that I've told you a little bit about Emmanuel, I've told you a little bit about Joseph, and I've told you a little bit about Mary's bloodline. Now I'm going to read the actual scripture. The scripture comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And this is the King James Version. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and taken unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, if you've been following along this season, you know that most of the segments, most of the Sunday school lessons are broken down into like two or three segments. This one actually is broken down into six different segments. It's like every verse or every couple of verses has its own distinct segment, which required some elaboration, some deeper elaboration. So the first segment here in my teacher's manual is verse 18 by itself. And that segment says, Fathered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born out of a woman's womb, which made him fully human. I'll read the verse again, since it was several verses. And then after I read that verse, then I'll go into some of the highlights and commentary that I have from the teacher's manual. Verse 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so the breakdown for verse 18, fathered by the Holy Spirit, it says the virgin birth of Jesus is crucial to Christianity. As the Son of God, he could not be tainted by sin. He was born out of a woman's womb, which made him fully human, yet he was fathered by the Holy Spirit, which made him fully God. Born fully man as well, Jesus was able to experience every aspect of human life and was touched by every human emotion, yet was without sin. His life experiences helped him develop empathy for human suffering, and he was able to give grace to the hurting through genuine love and compassion. Now, I'm reading from the Sunday school commentary lesson that I just read right there. And the part where it says his life experiences helped him develop empathy for human suffering, I'll tell you what that means to me. Jesus knows what we're going through. He didn't need to go through what we went through. He didn't need to do that. He understands our needs. He understood the needs of the people back then. He didn't need to do what he did to experience them fuller. But because he knows the nature of human beings, sometimes we're not going to give as much attention to someone just because they come with good news. Sometimes we're in situations and we only trust people that have gone through what we've gone through. So I wouldn't say so much it was a matter of him gaining experience from our suffering. It was more a matter of him coming to speak a language to people that were only able and willing to understand things from somebody that walked the same dirt, lived the same life, had the same obstacles they did. Human beings. That's human nature. So I believe that was a big part of it. Not so that he could grow from the experience. And I don't even think that was what the author was implying. But I'm just telling you what that says to me. He was doing it for those of us who would not have listened any other way. Okay. Next verse. Verse 19. It says, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Verse 19, According to the teacher's manual, it says, faced a dilemma. In Jewish customs, marriage consisted of three important things. First, the families of the intended couple agreed to the marriage. Second, when an agreement was made, the man and woman became espoused, which means pledged to one another, somewhat before the expectations of a modern day engagement, and publicly announced their intentions to marry. Third, the couple formally married and lived together as man and wife. Back then in Jewish society, marriage condition constituted adultery and justified punishment by stoning. Marriage condition obviously was her being pregnant, and she wasn't pregnant by Joseph. A woman that was pregnant and she wasn't pregnant by her soon-to-be husband was considered an adulterer. And as I'm just giving some context here, based on Jewish law, that was punishable by stoning. Joseph was sensitive to Mary's needs and sought to do the right thing in the eyes of God by not publicly assassinating her reputation or putting her to death. He practiced discretion when he chose to divorce Mary privately and not make her a public spectacle. So Joseph intended to divorce Mary. He didn't want to drag her name through the mud. I'm not going to speculate about what he thought or how he felt when he found out that his soon-to-be wife was pregnant. But I don't think I'm stretching to say it had to have been difficult. It had to have been difficult. In spite of it being difficult, he wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of what his society deemed justifiable by the law. I think that's important to remember, because sometimes when times are tough, we rely on laws or strong cultural expectations to be the guiding force. But if those cultural expectations might, even if they are intended to do right, sometimes they miss the unique circumstances that you're in. Joseph was in a unique circumstance. And even though he didn't fully understand it, how and why he and Mary were in that situation, he was willing. He had enough faith to say, I'm not going to go by the tradition of the people around me. I believe that God wants me to do something different. So he was intended to divorce Mary. Now, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This is verse 20. Okay. The Lord sent an angel to Joseph. And here, verse 20, the section here says forfeited decision. Knowing Joseph's plans to divorce Mary, God intervened immediately by sending an angel to him in a dream. Sometimes God will lead us into situations that bring hardship, embarrassment, and humiliation into our lives. However, remembering that God is sovereign will help us to understand that God chooses only the best solution, the one that will produce the best outcome in our lives. He uses our situations to work for our good. This is very important. This is very important. You know, we pray a lot. We pray a lot, and we pray to be delivered from things, and we pray that God doesn't lead us into temptation. And I'm here reading into this commentary. Says sometimes God will lead us into situations that bring hardship, embarrassment, and humiliation into our lives. That is not leading into temptation. If God is leading me to a challenge or a responsibility, it is because he knows that his blessing is on the other side of it. He knows that he has equipped us with faith. He knows that he will prepare us with opportunities to see him in our life, to be inspired in our life and in our circumstances. And in the end, if we give ourselves to him, if we survive, if we don't succumb to the temptations that come in those storms, then we can be a blessing to others. We can find purpose that we might not have been able to find just going after on our own aspirations. And then there are occasions, I'm not going to say a few, I'm not going to say many, but I'm going to say there are occasions when God gives us the answer to why he allowed us to go through it. It's not a guarantee that you're going to get all the answers on this side of life, but there will be times when you put your faith in God and if you proactively put your faith and your actions in God and in his word, and when you study his word, and when you seek counsel from those who have studied his word and walked in their own circumstances and have his compassion within them, there will be times when you get the blessed answer and the closure, the healing that you've been yearning for. Sometimes it comes sooner, sometimes it comes later. And sometimes you don't get the answer that you want, but you are filled with blessings and with treasure, and you're blessed with more freedom and more opportunities. Okay? Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Very important verse, verse 21. Verse 21, the teacher's manual said, followed God's instruction. God desired to save his people from hopelessness and sin. Sin is innate in every human being. And although through the shed and only through the shed blood of Jesus could humankind be redeemed from the devastating and final consequences of sin. Joseph was told by an angel in his dream. I'm sorry. Joseph was told by an angel that was sent from God in his dream to name his son Jesus. That is why Jesus's name was not Emmanuel when he was walking the earth. His name was Jesus because Joseph obeyed the message that he received in his dream from God through the lips of an angel. That is why we speak of Jesus and not of Emmanuel. It was because of Joseph's faith and obedience. Anyone who believes, repents, and accepts him as Lord and Savior is forgiven of sin, reconciled back to God, and given the gift of eternal life. The next section, the next segment is section 5, is verses 22 and 23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This teacher's manual said 22 and 23 is fulfilled prophecy. And God speaks through human beings and uses us to fulfill his promises. However, our obedience or disobedience to God's word cannot thwart the almighty will of God. When God sets in motion the fulfillment of a promise, it is fulfilled regardless of our understanding of the outcome. The word Emmanuel means God with us. The prophet Isaiah predicted that God would live among the people. Jesus, being God in human flesh, would dwell among the people and live a simple life. He would work as a carpenter like his earthly father Joseph and not perform public ministry until the appropriate time. Trying to see, I'm trying to see something. I know there was something else that I read that's not popping off here right now. Maybe that's in the, maybe that'll come in the last section, which is 24 and 25. Verses 24 and 25 say, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Verses 24 and 25, this final segment, segment six, section six for this particular Sunday school lesson says, "Fulfilled promise. Joseph believed God's messenger and immediately obeyed the spoken word. He forfeited his decision to divorce Mary and took her as his wife. Joseph probably faced opposition from his family, but despite their disapproval, he obeyed God's command. There will be times in our lives when God will tell us to make a decision that appears to others as wrong or unpopular. Our ultimate goal is to please God and not one another." Let me stop on that. Think about that. Family is very important. God, family, country. I mean, that's a, I remember that was a motto of my high school, I believe. I know that's, I believe that's a motto of our military. I mean, I'm speaking loosely. I'm not telling you because I pledged this for anything that I can recall at the top of my mind. But God, family, and country, those are three things that most Americans know that, agree kind of loosely that those should be our priorities. But right here, I agree with the commentary. There will be times when God will tell us to make a decision that appears to be wrong or unpopular. Now, I know that goes, I know that there are some people that place a higher priority on certain aspects of the Bible that talk about obedience to authority. I understand that and I respect that. And I understand there's a time and a place to put the, you know, law above my passion or above my conviction at that moment. There are times where I should guide my faith to listen to and respect what is asked of Caesar. But I give to God that which is God. Jesus solved that riddle for me when the person tried to trip him up and he had the coin. He said, "Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Given to the Lord, that which is the Lord's." You can obey society's laws and obey God's laws as long as you understand that when God's law propels you to be intentional about putting him above man's laws, you will find that disapproval is met with consequences. By the way, if you're wondering, if you live by God's laws and you're not going against any of society's laws, you will have consequences for that, too. Trust me, when you live with and try to teach and learn through love, you will be challenged. There's no way around that. You're not going to be immune to those things. There's no vaccine to tribulation. There is no vaccine for that. But what you should know is that when you're being challenged, are you being challenged because it's right and you are being called upon to do what's right when it's uncomfortable, when a lot of people wouldn't do it? Or are you being doing this more so because it satisfies your lifeline? It satisfies your conviction based on past experiences, and you're not allowing yourself to think about the immediate circumstance and how this might be a situation for you to build on what you learned or throughout what wasn't right about the past so that you can move forward with the new revelation that God has placed before you. Again, there is no There is no algorithm to knowing when you come into a situation if what your gut is telling you is absolutely from God or if it is from something lesser within you. I can't tell you that this is how you know. This is how you know. But I can suggest that when you feel really strongly about doing something and you know that there are going to be consequences, I would encourage you to read your Bible. I would encourage you to pray and reflect on that. I would encourage you to seek the consultation with other people that have gone through some things. And you will ultimately make your own choice. But don't leave God out of the equation. Don't leave your faith out of the equation, because obviously your faith is being tested and maybe you're being prepared so that you can do something better, so that you can be stronger than you had been in the past. Okay? So last thing that I'll say on this segment, I'm seeing a section in here that says liberating lesson that I highlighted. It said, when people's lives are full of broken promises, it is hard for them to accept the possibility of things getting better. I highlighted that because, number one, it's true. Number two, not only is it true, it's something that I can very much relate to. When people's lives are full of broken promises, it is hard for them to accept the possibility of things getting better. This is true. This is true. And that is, this is also not the end of the story. It makes it hard for them to accept the possibility of things getting better. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's impossible. Just because it's hard doesn't mean that it's unfair. Just because it's hard doesn't mean that it shouldn't be attempted. Sometimes we go through some things that are very hard and they don't lead to a transactional victory. In other words, when we see sporting events, people compete and then somebody is usually declared the winner, or every once in a while there'll be a draw. And it's very transactional. The people go out, they give their best, and then one hand is raised. Sometimes victory, spiritual victory, is not always transactional. You don't have your hand raised when you come out of it. Sometimes the victory is finished, or it is experienced, or it is celebrated openly. The hands are raised on the people who are standing on your shoulders, on the shoulders of what you were willing to lay down, what you were willing to do in that moment of quiet, in that moment that might seem to go unnoticed. It's not unnoticed when you're doing what you're doing for God. And only what we do for God remains anyway. It's the only thing that really matters. So when you don't get your hand raised during that tough time, it doesn't mean that God didn't listen to your prayer. It doesn't mean that God was indifferent to your suffering and to the feeling of isolation and the feeling of ridicule and the feeling of disappointment. It doesn't mean that God has left you behind to deal with the pain and the humiliation and the stamp of failure. It's not what it means. All of those things might be a part of what we look around and experience. But when we do something for God, we're blessed. Might not be in that moment, but there's a part of you that knows why you did what you did the way that you did. And your faith is being blessed. Your faith blesses you mentally, spiritually, emotionally, if not physically and financially. And that's very important to remember. So I'm looking down and it looks like I'm coming up on 34 minutes for this Sunday school lesson. So I'm going to back off of here, give a commercial, and then I'm going to close with a brief, hopefully a brief commentary about rejection and hope even when you're feeling rejected.
Hi, I want to take this opportunity to thank you all for joining our family podcast. Being able to do this is both fun and work. Our family hopes that you will find what you hear today as both entertaining and comforting. If you do, please keep coming back. We know that with our family, some of the days have been long, but the years have gone by fast. Believe this advice that I know you've already heard a bunch of times before. Make it a priority to enjoy the present. Well, that is all I have to say this time. Once again, on behalf of my family, thank you for joining the 9 Points Podcast.
Back to the second and final segment of today's podcast. This is BH. And when I first sat down and was going to do this segment, I was thinking about a particular type of adversity, and that is isolation and rejection also being a component of it. But since I first came up with wanting to share that, something has been on my mind, and I feel like no matter what I end up saying, I want to go ahead and say what's on my heart and share that. And then hopefully what comes out after that will continue to be within the context of what I was originally wanting to say about rejection and isolation. And what's on my heart is the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the path of the righteous for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen." Now, with the 23rd Psalm as the backdrop, I want you to think about times where you've experienced adversity, times where you felt rejected, times where you were not welcome. It might even be circumstances that you're facing right now. You might not feel welcome. Or, you know, sometimes there have been times in my life, I can make an I statement here, where I've been welcome and I still haven't felt at home. You know, I can't say that everybody's gone through that, but somebody has. I'm not the only person to be welcome and unsettled in a place that's welcoming can kind of reinforce that sense of being alone, alone with your thoughts, alone with your insecurities, along with your regrets, alone with your regrets and insecurities, alone with your pain, alone with those deepest concerns that you have that you might not even admit to anybody else. And there's so much to draw from the 23rd Psalm. And just that first segment of it where it said, "He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters and restoreth my soul." That within the context of that feeling of rejection or not welcomed, flat out, you're not welcome here, or missed completely, your needs, your presence completely being ignored, whatever that circumstance may be that is trying to take away your peace. Remember that the Lord made you to lie down in green pastures. Now, there are all kinds of there's all kind of symbolism in this. And there have been people that are wiser than me that have put in a lot more Bible study than I have that can talk to you about green pastures and still waters and what they represent. So I don't want to accidentally convey something that they conveyed to me in a way that's all jacked up. But I can just tell you genuinely that what's speaking to me is that the strongest of warriors, the most intentional of seekers, will inevitably find themselves in places where they need to lay down in the green pastures. All of us are called to work and to lay down in the green pastures so that we can be, so that our soul can be restored. If your soul is restored, your faith can be healed and restored. If your faith can be healed and restored, you got to remember that, spiritually speaking, faith is more powerful than gold. And just like in either this Sunday school lesson or the Sunday school lesson before this, when it was talking about gold being separated from all the impure elements by God, when your faith is restored, when your faith is made complete until it's prepared for the next installment of faith and truth, it might not be pleasant, but there is strength around you. There's strength in you that you might not even be aware of. There is a strong presence that is compelling you to move forward by laying down. It seems counterproductive, just like certain things that you might read from time to time seem like they don't make sense. Like when Jesus was talking to people about being born again and somebody said, how can a person go back in the mother's womb and come out again? What do you mean be born again? There are certain things that on paper seem like they don't make sense. But sometimes the best work is in being healed. Sometimes the best work is in being healed, being restored, so that what you say and what you do has a power that it didn't have before you had that process of being restored by the still waters, by being able to recognize and embrace the diversity and the challenges that come with being in the presence of the righteous. Because the righteous isn't just about ceremony and walking around and waving hands and shaking hands and saying, hey, follow us. That's not the way it is. Righteousness is like love. Love constantly pushes us to be better than we are, to accept the humility and the courage necessary to keep on moving forward and becoming who we are intended to be on this side so that we can enjoy our work and so that we can teach others to enjoy the work that comes with the adversity and the beauty of being loved by God. So this was 100% off the heart, and I pray right now that you will take what's been shared in this episode in a way that inspires you, that brings you closer to God, that helps you to understand and accept peace in your life, and hope, and then moving forward, hopefully you'll continue to find pleasure in the work of doing what's necessary. Remember that wealth is to be spent and treasures to be shared. God bless you. Take care.